Hour number two of 3D here on this Wednesday morning. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN, our NFL analyst. He joins us every Wednesday to kick off the third hour. So Tim Hasselbeck will join us coming up in the next hour. But right now we head to Charlotte, where we want to get a little bit better feel. Last hour we went to Philadelphia. We talked to Rhea Hughes up in WIP in Philadelphia, a couple of their coaches on the Titans list. Another guy on the Titans list is Carolina Panthers defensive coordinator. And to help us with all that, Chris Kroger is on the line, host of Primetime on the Fan in Charlotte. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. We're trying to battle through the inch and a half of snow here in Charlotte. So we're trudging through on this Wednesday.
Believe me, we know all about that. Yeah, 2-3 inches, and you know how that works.
And debilitating here.
That's right. So can you tell us, I mean, you know, we're sitting here, we've talked all week. Obviously, Monday's show was completely changed before we took to the airwaves. The announcement was already out there. So now we're in mode of, okay, who are these guys? We're starting to hear names surface. Who are they? We don't cover Carolina on a daily basis. What can you tell us about Steve Wilks?
Well, this is my guy. You know, I'm a Steve Wilks fan through and through. And, you know, for us here in Charlotte, I think, for me growing up here in Charlotte, I've got a cool kind of link to Steve Wilks as a guy who is from Charlotte himself and, you know, played his college ball in my alma mater at Appalachian State and played for the Charlotte Rage back in the day in the Arena Football League and, you know, worked his way up from just the lowest levels of college football, Johnson C. Smith right here in Charlotte, which is right over the outer belt, right outside of Uptown. And, you know, the story goes, he was coaching on the practice fields, this is 20-some-odd years ago now, and told to one of his coaching staff mates, hey, I'm going to be up there one day. And he pointed towards Uptown Charlotte, and he said, what are you talking about, working in Bank of America? He said, no, I'm going to be on that practice field just over there. And sure enough, he became the defensive coordinator for his hometown team here in Charlotte for the Panthers the last season. He's been on the staff now for over 5 years, and he's done great work. And this guy has got a ton of energy, ton of passion, ton of emotion, and I think there's pretty good reason he's been brought up with so many head coaching jobs that have come open over the last couple weeks.
What makes you – obviously, that's a pretty ringing endorsement from you, Chris. You're around him. We're not. But you know, moving into that head coaching role, and I think – when I was looking back at his resume, I think he was a head coach in college for a season, so he doesn't really have – much experience, if any at all. You know, it's the role changes when you're the head coach as opposed to an assistant or a coordinator. What makes you think he's equipped, especially at the NFL level, to now be the CEO of a team?
Well, I think the fact that he's been, you know, by title, he's been the assistant head coach now for a couple of seasons. Part of that was due to Ron Rivera. He loves continuity on his staff, and you know, to justify some of the abilities to give somebody a raise. And also, you know, the NFL rules, you can't, you know, lose a coach if you're having him taken to a lesser job. So, you know, everything's got to be a promotion. So to keep some of his assistant coaches over the years, he's bumped him up a pay grade. He's also bumped him up a spot on the coaching staff. So he's kind of Ron Rivera's right-hand guy. You know, Ron and him work hand-in-hand with the defense because Ron is such a defensive-minded head coach, and he kind of leaves the offense to the offense. But I think with Steve Wilks, he's a guy that is just a CEO, and he's got a vision and he's got a plan. And, you know, Ron said this a few weeks ago because he's been asked a lot about Steve Wilks being so blitz-heavy as a defensive coordinator, where they were the second highest-rated team in terms of percentage of blitz they were running on defense all year. And, you know, Ron Rivera says, hey, Coach Wilks comes to me, and it's not just, hey, we're going to do this. It's, hey, here's why we're going to do it. And I think Steve Wilks is that type of guy that is very buttoned up. There's always a reason that they're going to do something. There's always a reason why behind they're going to do something. And I think he's got a pretty clear vision for how he would run a program and run a franchise if he ever got that call up. And I think he's more than ready for that opportunity right now.
Certainly we saw the disaster that was Ben McAdoo in New York when you lose a locker room. Certainly we saw it here with Ken Whisenhunt, who was a total disaster for the Titans franchise, and he lost the room too. What do the players say about Steve Wilks?
Oh, they love him, guys. It's crazy because, you know, we get Panthers players on, you know, 2-3 times a week throughout the course of the year, and a lot of defensive guys. And you mentioned Steve's name, Coach Wilks, Steve Wilks. You mention his name, and they just light up, and they can't wait to just, you know, lay out effusive praise for this guy and his personality and just the passion that he exudes and the way he gets these guys to play. And it's up and down the defensive staff, to be honest with you. Eric Washington has been a longtime defensive line coach here, is much the same way. He just gets the best football out of guys. And Steve Wilks has done the same. And when you look at the Panthers secondary over the year, guys, I mean, they've never been an elite pass defense team, but they've gotten a lot done with not a whole lot. And, he took Josh Norman and molded him from a seventh-round pick all the way into an all-pro corner who just got $50 million guaranteed a couple of years ago. And you've seen what Josh has been in Washington. To me, he hasn't really been the same player since he left here. So Steve Wilks gets the best football out of guys, and he just speaks to them in a way because he was a player that I think they really relate to. And I think Ron Rivera, that's the thing that people don't talk about Ron Rivera nationally about as much either. Ron Rivera's teams get better in the month of November and December. His record in the month of December and November, only Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll is better since he took over as head coach 7 years ago. And I think Steve Wilks is that type of guy as well. Because he played the game, I think he knows how to reach players. He doesn't talk over them. He doesn't talk under them. He just meets them where they are. And I think that's really important for a lot of guys in the NFL.
Chris Kroeger giving us some insights on Steve Wilks, who is the defensive coordinator for the Charlotte Panthers. He's going to get an interview, it looks like, with the Tennessee Titans for their vacancy. Chris is with Primetime on The Fan in Charlotte. Chris, it's intriguing. I look at the Panthers right now, and it's very similar to the Titans back in the day when they got to the Super Bowl. They almost won it. They had good teams the following years, and they never got back. How frustrating has it been in Charlotte, knowing you got a good team, you're in a window, you've got the quarterback, you've got a really good head coach, and it's not quite been there. You've been back to the playoffs, but you've fallen short.
No, it's really frustrating, guys, and I agree. And, you talk about those Titans teams, and it starts and stops with Steve McNair and Eddie George, and I think the comparison that a lot of people have made over the years to who is Cam Newton, if you could find a way to compare him to a former quarterback. And I think it is Steve McNair. And you guys remember what Steve was doing early on in his career. And then when he got to about this time, year 8, year 9, year 10 in his career, and really started to turn more into a prototypical quarterback, he still had the ability to scramble and extend plays outside of the pocket. But he was always thinking pass first at that point in his career. And it really, it extended his career. It took him to the next level as a quarterback. And I think we've been hearing about Cam Newton for a few years now. I think it's a big reason why Ron has brought in Norv Turner, to run this offense and take Cam to that next level in year 8, because they said they were going to do it this year. They were going to try to, run Cam less, be more judicious with how they ran Cam. Well, Cam was their leading rusher this year in year 7. Off of shoulder surgery, really wasn't active throughout the first month of the year either, practicing very much throughout the first month of the year. So I think this team feels like they've got to find a way to take it to the next level. And I think that Titans team back in the day with Steve McNair and what they were able to do to mold him and shape him and take him in a new path with his career is probably one the Panthers need to follow with Cam Newton right now.
Real quick, want to pass this along, Willie, before your next question. Remember we said at the beginning of the show, Mike Munchak, I reported a couple weeks ago when Pittsburgh was in their bye week that Arizona was going to interview him and fly to Pittsburgh. We knew that happened, but then we said yesterday Mike Munchak was now on the interview to be for second go-around on that list for Arizona. We said this morning that he has turned down Arizona for a second interview. We now may know why. Todd Haley out as the OC in Pittsburgh.
I was wondering about that.
Does that maybe make Mike Munchak the new OC?
He's never had a chance to be a coordinator.
He's never been a coordinator, so you do wonder, with him turning down the second interview with Arizona, Todd Haley now getting fired in Pittsburgh, you do wonder, maybe Munchak stayed because he's going to be the next OC.
Well, Chris, with that in mind, thinking about Steve Wilks, who I think is going to be a guy that's getting a look from a lot of different people, there's a number of openings, and it's constantly shuffling, as Darren just pointed out.
Yep.
So where else are you hearing vibes of Steve Wilks? Do you think any other teams are really locked in on him?
Well, it seemed like New York was going to be the move early on, because the Giants hiring Dave Gettleman, former Panthers GM, who ended on tenuous terms here, but the way he likes to play football is aligned with what Ron Rivera has done here over the years. And I think that familiarity with Steve Wilks was a name early on where it made a lot of sense, although that seems to have waned. Obviously, Arizona is one that makes sense because they're such a defensive-oriented team as well. Titans the same way to me. Obviously, as you guys know, they want to be balanced and they want to have a stingy defense. And obviously, to me, for Tennessee, as you guys know too, it seems to be about trying to take Marcus Mariota to the next level with some sort of offensive change, whether it's the head coach or bringing in a head coach who's going to hire an offensive coordinator who's going to do that. But, it seems some doors have closed. Detroit going with Matt Patricia. Obviously, with Indianapolis, they wanted an offensive coach to try to fix Andrew Luck and keep him healthy and get back to competing for Super Bowls like they were early on in his tenure. So, I think the deck chairs are kind of being shuffled around a little bit. The music's starting to come to an end. And I would be interested to see if Arizona or Tennessee are the two gigs. I think Steve Wilks is running out of opportunities now to try to land that gig. And Ron Rivera is very matter of fact, the day after the the loss in the wild card game, he said, you know, he wasn't expecting Steve Wilks to come back, and now it looks like that might be more and more of a possibility, which is a win for the Panthers, but a bit of a loss, I think, for Steve Wilks if that ends up happening.
And yet he's only 48, and in some ways you think, you know, that maybe there's still time, but it is really interesting to look at his resume, and he's not unlike a lot of coaches where you go down and you're like, man, this guy has been everywhere, but he's got a long list of places and backgrounds, and that's the life of an assistant coach, right?
No, it is, and I think Ron Rivera and Steve Wilks are pretty similar in their resumes and their track records and where they've gotten and what they want to do and how they want to coach and the way they coach, and they've been linked together so much over the last decade or so in Chicago and San Diego and now here in Carolina. But you know, Ron Rivera said it himself. The one thing he was saying about Jerry Richardson, whatever has been going on with these allegations, he was grateful that Jerry Richardson gave him a chance because he had taken 9 different interviews, never got a head coaching job. And I think Steve Wilks isn't there yet, but he's starting to move in that vein. But as you've seen, Ron Rivera, look, let's not forget, in his third season, Panthers were 1-3. They went from 6-10 to 7-9. Then they're off to a 1-3 start. He could have gotten fired. They didn't fire him. They win 11 of 12 to get into the playoffs, win the division, go 12-4, have a bye, host a playoff game. They made the playoffs 4 out of the last 5 years, 3 straight NFC South crowns. So, you know, I think sometimes you just got to take a step back and say, you know what, I trust the resume, I trust what this guy can do, and I'm going to give him an opportunity to turn the corner and figure this thing out. It's the best thing the Panthers have ever done, and I think Steve Wilks, if he got that opportunity, would have a pretty good track record as well.
You brought up Jerry Richardson. Obviously, we know that the Carolina Panthers are going to be up for sale. You're starting to hear a lot of prominent people, including some folks in NASCAR, want to throw their hat in the ring. Where do you think the next ownership is going?
You know what? I'll believe it when I see it, guys. You know, I get on the air every day now, and we kind of have a little mini discussion of where the ownership's going. And you got Felix Sabatis, who's a guy that's been involved in NASCAR. He owns a bunch of car dealerships around here. He's got a good relationship with local business people in the area, and is a minority owner for the Charlotte Hornets. But he's been linked to everything, and it seems like he's the guy trying to be the front man for any potential local ownership group with big money to try and join in with him. Dale Jr. kind of tepidly threw his hat into the ring yesterday. You've heard about the France family that owns and founded NASCAR. I think it's going to be a Shad Khan, guys. If I had to guess, I think it's going to be some rich billionaire that we've never heard of before, who's not a celebrity, that has the type of money. Look, this team is going to go for over $2.5 billion. And so there's money in Charlotte. But to me, if you want to buy a toy like that, it's got to be that. It's got to be a billionaire who's got lots of money to spend, isn't necessarily worried about making it back right away, and is more just wanting the opportunity to be one of the power players in professional sports, not only in the country, but in the entire world. And I think it's going to be some guy with a lot of money, deep pockets, that we've never heard about. And that's the type of profile that the NFL is looking for, too. So Jerry Richardson can handpick whoever he wants. We got to remember the 23 of 32 owners in these owners' meetings have to be the one who approves it. And I think it's going to be somebody with deep pockets who we've probably never heard of before.
You could have Amazon's owner. He could. I mean, he's got plenty of dough. You got drones flying all around the stadium. Have the tickets delivered. Prime, Amazon Prime. I mean, you know, it makes sense.
It's funny. No, look, and I don't know where you guys are in Nashville with this. We're one of all the 100 plus cities in this country that put in a bid for HQ2 for Amazon. So we got a lot of our listeners who are saying, hey, let's do a package deal. We'll give you even more tax breaks. You buy the Panthers, you bring HQ2 here, and we'll call it a day, and we'll make a good business deal. I'm not sure that's actually realistic, though.
Yeah. Hey, good talking to you. Thanks for doing this, and we'll do it again down the road.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Just give me a call.
If you hear anything on Wilks, let us know.
I will. I'll do that.
Chris Kroeger, appreciate him. Host of Primetime, fan in Charlotte. I don't know if he's a legitimate candidate or not. I mean, he's going to interview. I don't know how high he is up on the list, but certainly Chris thinks he should be high up on the list.
Apparently last year when the Rams job was open, he had an impressive interview. And this is the benefit of the Rooney Rule, is when minority candidates have to be interviewed, sometimes you're like, well, why? Just going through the motions. You know who you want, and it's not one of these guys. But sometimes names emerge, and you're like, hey, that guy's on my radar. He otherwise would not have been. And this is a guy, quite honestly, I'd never heard of. He's been everywhere. Look at his resume.
He's been everywhere.
Savannah State, Illinois State, Appalachian State, East Tennessee State, Bowling Green, Notre Dame, Washington, Bears, Chargers, Panthers.
I mean, it spans a long period of time.
You know, that's not necessarily a bad thing whenever you're around a bunch of people. If you can gather and maybe take some things here, some things there.
Absolutely.
Then make it your own.
No doubt.
You know? That's not a bad thing. I think sometimes when people are at one place for a long, long, long time, especially in the coaching industry, if you've only seen it one way, I don't think that's necessarily a great advantage. It may be one way with a great person, right? But, I think maybe seeing things – he's winning what, mid, late 40s?
48 years old.
Yeah. I don't think that's a horrible thing.
Right.
But we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. Ian Rappaport, who we had on the show on Monday from NFL Network, reporting that Todd Haley out as the offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh, which probably means Mike Tomlin is not going anywhere. This is just the start of some heads rolling. Somebody has to pay, or some bodies have to pay for yet again another collapse in the playoffs, and it doesn't look like it's going to be Mike Tomlin. But you do wonder. We started off the show by saying Mike Munchak turned down a second interview to be the head coach at Arizona. If you're turning down a head coach opportunity, you must feel pretty strong. Remember, he's a guy who's from the state of Pennsylvania. He may love it there. I know he loved it here. He may love it there, and that's more attractive to him to be an OC maybe in Pittsburgh rather than to be a head coach and move his family out west.
Who else is available that once was the offensive coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Who else is available that used to be the offensive coordinator for the Steelers?
And won a Super Bowl, I think. There's actually two. There's one that I know just became available a couple days ago.
Who?
Mike Mularkey.
Oh, yeah.
He was the offensive coordinator for the Steelers.
Yeah.
It's where Exotic Smash Mouth was born.
Exotic Smash Mouth was born. He could go back.
Yeah.
I do wonder where he'll land. I think he'll land somewhere.
Well, Cleveland's a heavy rumor.
If you're Mike Mularkey, where would you rather go?
I think you'd rather go to Pittsburgh. I'm just saying.
Is it that crazy
Steelers
of an idea?
Steelers or the Browns? Let me think.
It's not a crazy idea, is it?
That's, by the way, one of the knocks against Mike Tomlin. Everybody's like, yeah, his record's great. How could you say that? And he's like, yeah, he's 30-2 against Cleveland. It's like the Browns have helped build up his resume. I mean, his resume is very padded due to the Browns and the Bengals. He's beat up on both of them for a long time, which
those wins
you have
count.
To do. They're division foes, right? They count. You're right. And help them win division titles. All right, we'll come back and kind of ask you, what do you think? Where is this going? Is there any name out there that – remember we did this with the UT job. Who do you think it's going to be? Who would you like for it to be? We can do that maybe on the Titans side. 737-1025. Tim Hasselbeck coming up at noon. You're listening to 3D 1025 The Game.